Morning. I'm going to talk on the subject of how to study the Bible. And I've taught approximately 300 Bible study classes here in Faith Christian Center, and I think I've got a pretty good idea of what you people out there do in the way of studying the Bible after all of these years of teaching these classes. And some of the observations that I've had about studying the Bible over the years of the people I've talked with and taught and counseled is that really only about 5% of all the born-again Christians that I know really do a thorough job of studying the Bible each and every day or very consistently and really just could to God at any time and say, I am approved by you and I am not ashamed. And really only about one out of every 20 Christians that I know, honestly, is a real student of the Bible. About 20% of all the Christians that I've met and talked with do a pretty good job of studying the Bible. They may study for a couple of weeks and really do a good job and then back off for a while and then start again, but really they're into that Bible most of the time. And then there's a group in the middle of about 50% of all the born-again Christians that I know that really want to study the Bible. In their heart, they just have a desire to study the Bible, and maybe 6 or 7 or 8 times in their Christian walk, they started to study the Bible, but each time they gave up in frustration because it was boring, or they just weren't getting anything out of it. They didn't know how to do it. And then there's a remaining group of about 25% of all Christians who really just never even opened this book, in my opinion. So those are the four groups that we have based upon my experience with the Christians. And so what I like to do here today is I like to share with you the different things that I've learned in the last several years. And this morning we're mainly going to just cover why it is so important for us to study the Bible. Not that it's just a good book, but exactly and specifically we're going to study why. I'm going to give you 21 specific reasons why God has told us it is mandatory for us to study His Word. And you can judge yourself as to how these reasons touch you in your life. And then next week, we're going to follow up on this teaching. We're going to go through step by step and exactly what is required for us to study the Bible. And I believe that if anyone listens carefully during these 2 weeks, that we will be able, through the Holy Spirit speaking through me, to open up brand new horizons in your Bible study. I really don't think that very many Christians have ever really received the full explanation as to how to study the Bible. I've never seen it very much in the 8 years that I've been a born-again Christian, so we're going to get into this here today, and we're going to get into a very specific, factual study. The first reason that I'd give you, and we don't have time to look all these up in the Bible, so I'd advise you to either make notes on this or else get a copy of the tape afterward, but the first reason why we should study the Bible is 8 simple words that absolutely transformed my life when my life was falling apart, and I was a total nervous breakdown and just on the verge of bankruptcy and losing everything I had in this world. And that day I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and a man gave me 8 words, which is simply the first part of 2 Timothy 3:16. And he said to me, Jack, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I never really had understood until that day that every single word in the Bible came from God Himself. Our Creator, the same person who made you, who made me, who made our children, who made this earth that we lived on, that He actually wrote a book, that He actually wrote one book, that He took the pens and the minds of the different authors of the Bible. There's 66 books in the Bible, and there's 40 different authors, and He took 40 different men over a period of hundreds of years, and the Holy Spirit within them guided their minds and their hearts, and every single word in the Bible comes directly from God Himself. And I learned back then at those days of extreme difficulty in my life that God and His Word are exactly the same thing. And I learned that when I approach my Bible each day in the privacy of my home to study it, that it's exactly the same as if I approach God Himself. And I believe that the first thing that we have in Bible study is to understand that every single minute of Bible study that we have is exactly the same as if God came into our living room and sat down with us and said, son or daughter, I want to talk with you here today. And God and His Word are one and the same. And when that light came on in my mind back there 8 years ago, and I could look at that book with awe and reverence and understand that that was exactly the same as God, that just actually just unbelievably changed my life. And another verse of Scripture that might convince you with all of these coming together this morning of why it's so important to study the Bible is 3 John 4, Roman numeral 3 John And just to number four, and God says this, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Well, just imagine, here's your father, your creator, God in heaven. And if your father says, I have no greater joy, and I said to you, do you want to do the one thing that gives your father more joy than anything else? And you say, yes, as obedient Christians, as obedient children of God, we say, yes, I do. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So the Bible tells us that thy word is truth. The Bible tells us that his word is truth. And God has no greater joy than when he sees you and I living our lives based entirely upon his word. Satan tries to do just the opposite all the time. Satan tries to put lies in our mind every single day. The Bible says that he's the biggest liar of all time. In John 8:44, the Bible says, speaking of Satan, there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So all day long, your mind and my mind is bombarded by thoughts that Satan's evil spirit tries to put in there. You're no good. You're inferior. You're going to lose your job. Your wife doesn't love you. That cancer that you got. And all the lies and all the negatives. And the only way that we can offset these things is to have the truth of God's word down inside of our hearts. And so it gives God this great joy to see us walking in truth, because he knows that that is the one way we can offset the attacks of our enemy. And we can trust the word of God. People come to me all the time when I counsel and say, gee, I wish I could believe that. I want to believe it. I wish I could believe this promise. Well, in the Bible, there are several things that tell us that we can believe. In Hebrews 6:18, in the Living Bible, says it is impossible for God to tell a lie. God is the opposite of Satan. He's light where Satan is darkness, and he's truth where Satan is lie. That every single word in the Bible can be depended on, absolutely, totally, and completely. Roman numeral 1, Kings, 1 Kings 8:56, says there hath not failed one word of all his good promise. That means of every promise that God has ever made, there's never been one single word that has failed. And we can depend on it. We can trust God. And the classic verse of Scripture that tells us that we can trust God and his promises is Isaiah 55:11. And God says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So we must understand that God's word is the truth, that it gives our Father great joy to see us living our lives by his word, that it's impossible for him to lie, and that we can count on and depend on every word in that Bible. One of the things that sometimes helps us to understand the awesome importance of this book is to look at Jesus Christ. And we say, gee, we're supposed to live our life like Jesus lived his life. What did he think of the Bible? What did he show? Well, probably the most vulnerable time of Jesus' life, except for those final hours just before the crucifixion and during them, was when he spent 40 days and nights out in the wilderness. And he went 40 days and he went 40 nights and he went without food. And at the end of that time, he was weary. He'd been out there and all of that problems and without any food. And at that time, in his weakest moment, Satan came at Jesus. And he tried to tempt him and he tried to attack him. And it's interesting to see what Jesus did at that very difficult time in his life. Because every one of the three times that Satan came at Jesus, Jesus said the same three words. And you find this in your Bible in Matthew 4:4, Matthew 4:7, and Matthew 4:10. And study what Jesus did when the going was tough in his life. And he said, it is written. And those are the three words that he used to defend himself. And each time that Satan came at him, Jesus came back with a verse of Scripture. And if at a moment of great trial and tribulation in the life of Jesus Christ, it was important enough for him to turn to the Word of God, then why shouldn't it be equally important to us in our lives? Another example of how important the Word of God is in the life of Jesus Christ was one day the disciples came to him and told him that the crowds out there were so big that his mother and his brothers could not get to him. And they said, your mother and your brethren are out there. And it's interesting that Jesus gave her a reply, and you find this in your Bible in Luke 8:21. And Jesus says, my mother and my brethren are those which hear the Word of God and do it. And that's a very significant point, because Jesus said, my brethren, or my brothers, and my sisters, are those which hear the word of God and do it. Do you qualify based on that definition? Do you get into the word of God on a regular basis? Do you do it? But Jesus Christ placed supreme importance on the word of God here in his life, and he is our model. He is our example. And as we see how much he depended on the word of God, we must each ask ourselves, are we really doing the same thing? Another thing that really helped me tremendously during my early years of studying the Bible, to realize that the Bible really was the truth of God himself, was to study some of the prophecy in the Bible. To study some of the time in the Bible where God prophesied that a certain thing would happen, and then to look up and find it later on and find that exactly what he said would happen would happen. And I've collected literally dozens of these prophecies of things that were prophesied and later happened, and I'd just like to give you just some very brief insight into prophecy here this morning. The first thing is that God himself said that every bit of prophecy in the Bible came from him, and he said that in 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. And God said that no prophecy of the Scripture is of private interpretation. In other words, no person made up that prophecy by themselves. And he said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So what God taught us here is that the Holy Spirit guided each one of these prophets, and these prophets gave us very specific predictions that they all came true. Now, I'd just like to give you three just in the time we have here this morning, but if you'd like some more, you see me afterward, and I give you a lot more. These are three examples of prophecy. About 800 years before Jesus Christ was born, there was a prophet by the name of Micah. And Micah at that time, let's think how long 800 years is. The United States of America has been in existence 200 years, give or take a little bit. Four times as long as our whole country's been in existence, a man said that the Messiah would be born in a little teeny town of Bethlehem. Now, what are the odds of some man, all of those years in advance, pulling out a little small town the size of Bedford, New Hampshire, and saying in the Scripture, that is where the Messiah will be born? But if you look in your Bible in Micah 5:2, you will see very clearly that it was prophesied that the Messiah would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. And then as we read in our Bible, which we know anyway, in Matthew 2:4 and 6, we see factually that that's exactly where Jesus Christ was born. I ask you to ask yourself what the odds of this were, but anyone but God writing those scriptures. Number two is, what are the odds of anybody being born of a virgin? I mean, that's preposterous if we didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. And yet we all know, if we studied anything, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. But yet the prophet Isaiah, many, many years before, in Isaiah 7:14, clearly tells us, yes, the Messiah will be born of a virgin. So here we are again, hundreds and hundreds of years ahead, and someone is prophesying something that is beyond the realm of human possibility, and he hit it right on the nose again. And the third example, just a simple one that I give you here this morning, is Psalm 22:18. And the psalmist prophesied there that the men who killed the Messiah would cast lots, that they would gamble for his clothing. And so they said that when the Messiah is killed, the people who killed him, and you look it up in your Bible, it says that he would cast lots for the clothing. In John 19:23 and 24, uses those exact same words, and it tells us that this is what happened. And many times in the scriptures you'll see in the Bible in the margin an example of a prophecy that was given and a prophecy that actually resulted. And I believe that each of us should ask ourselves, is this just coincidence that all of these things could happen? Or they really happen because every word in the Bible is inspired by God himself. And the fact is that that is the truth. And because God gave us every word, it's your job and my job to study that book. The fifth reason why we should study the word of God is simply because God told us to study his word. He told us. In 2 Timothy 2:15, this is the verse of scripture that I started every Bible study with on Tuesday night here in Faith Christian Center as long as I can remember. And here's what God told us, and I'll read it first, and then we'll discuss it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I might say to you, do you want to do what you need to do to be approved unto God? And you might say, yes, I'm a Christian. I want to do whatever I need to do to be approved unto God. Then the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. If I said to you, do you want to never be ashamed? If God came up to you right now, do you want to be positive about the Christian life that you've led? And you said yes. And it says here, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And so what it says is that we ought to study so that God will approve of us, of our work. I ask you in the month of March, which is drawing to a close, would God approve of your study in the Bible? Would you be ashamed of the work that you have spent in your father's book that he wrote every word to tell us to guide our lives? And the subject of rightly dividing the word of truth, I'd like to set that aside because that'll be part of our teaching next week. Again, we must understand that over and over again that God tells us, listen, my children, this is my word. It is my word and it will work. And in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, if you look that up later, you'll see again what it says here, that God really did give us that Bible. And it says, when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And what this says in our common everyday English that we're using here today is, listen, this is not a book written by men or women like all those other books you read. In truth, this is the word of God himself, and it will work in those of you who believe. And so as we look up all of these verses of Scripture and we find them ourselves, it just rises up in our heart that, yes, this is the truth. Yes, God did give us this book, and he did give us a roadmap. He gave us a guide to get through these troubled times that we all live in. But what good is the roadmap if we never take it out and look at it? The seventh reason that I believe why it's very important for us to study the Bible is we need to realize that this book is so awesome that it is in a class by itself. And we can rely totally on this book because it has stood the test of time. The Bible has been with us. Just think that Jesus Christ was here almost 2 years ago, so you figure that the New Testament is close to 2,000 years old, and the Old Testament goes back thousands and thousands of years beyond that. So just think how old this book is compared to the latest bestseller that we read in the natural world when a book comes out after a very few years. It just goes out of print. And even the great classics don't last more than 100 years. But this one book has lasted thousands and thousands of years. And not only has this book lasted a long time, but listen to the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 24:35, where he says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, says Jesus. What he really says is that the word of God will last longer than heaven and earth as we know it today. And we have that word sitting in our homes, on our desks, or on our bookshelf. And it's our job, if it's that powerful, to get that thing out and find out what it says. 1 Peter 1:25 says, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And there are many verses of Scripture in the Bible that tell us that this book is so powerful that it'll last forever and ever. God's promises don't depend upon the state of man's world. The eternal and unchanging spiritual truth of the Word of God is not affected in any way by recession or depression or inflation or losing our jobs or whatever happened, by cancer, by problems at home. The Word of God is so powerful, it's been there all these years and going to be there all these years, and there's no way that it takes second place to the problems that you and I find in our lives. And God's Word gives us the permanence and the certainty that we all need in these uncertain and constantly changing times. Some people say to me, a lady said to me the other day, I was talking to a lady in Nashville, Tennessee on the telephone, a Christian. She called me up, her husband called me up. She said, you don't know what it's like. She said, I have two babies that were born 16 months apart. She said, I can't find any time to study the Bible. And people often say this to me. People say, gee, I have to hold on down a second job in order to earn enough money to support my family. And people say, gee, I have to work all kinds of overtime just to make a living in these inflationary days. That's not what the Bible says. I'm sorry, but if we see what the Bible says, Psalm 119, verse 72, says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And God's Word tells us over and over, don't get all caught up with the things of this world and think it's so important that we can't study God's Word. Proverbs 8, 10, and 11. God says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it. And no matter what it is that keeps you and I busy in our lives, whether it's watching television, whether it's sports, whether it's going out with our friends, whether it's our job, whether it's earning money, the Bible very clearly tells us they are nothing compared to receiving the instruction of God's Word. And when we live our lives by the Word of God, another reason, when we live our lives by God's Word, we build a foundation that is solid rock and it can't be shaken. Now, I'll tell you the truth that I've been teaching what I'm teaching here at this Tuesday night for 15 years. Before I ever became a Bible study teacher, I was teaching about how not to worry and how to overcome fear and how to build a faith. And I'll tell you that the things that I was teaching then were basically the same things I'm teaching now. I understood the same truths. I even quoted scripture a lot of time in my talk back then. And I spoke in 10 different states and in Montreal, Canada, on the subject of positive thinking and the subconscious mind and how to overcome fear and worry. And I thought I had all the answers when I spoke in all these places. But 8 years ago, my world just collapsed around me, and I reached down deep for all of my theories on positive thinking and fear and worry, and I had nothing. And my world crumbled around me. I was $250,000 in debt, and every single thing fell apart. And that time I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and then I started to build a solid foundation under the Word of God. And when we build the foundation of the Word of God under those promises, then it will not shake. And I'd ask you please to turn in your Bible for one of the few times this morning to look up these verses of Scripture right here and now. I'd like you to look the rest up, Matthew 7, 24 and 27. And I'd like you to look the rest of these verses of Scripture up during the week, but I'd like right now for every person in this room who has a Bible to see what the absolute necessity of building a solid foundation, a rock-like foundation on the Word of God. And I thought I had all the answers. I thought I had a foundation. But as we see what Jesus Christ said here, and we look with our own eyes, Matthew 7, 24, 27, perhaps we'll see something different. And Jesus said this. He said, "Whosoever heareth these things of mine," and please underline these next three words in your Bible, "and doeth them." Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And then Jesus said, "And everyone that heareth these things of mine," and please underline these next four words, "and doeth them not." "And everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Jesus Christ is saying to you, don't think you've got the answer because you come to church on Sunday morning or Tuesday night and hear the Word of God, because that doesn't make any difference. He says we've got to do what God's Word says to build a solid foundation. And over in the Bible, our verses of Scripture, "Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, thereby deceiving yourself." And in my opinion, based upon 300 Bible study classes that I've taught, over 75% of all the children of God do not live their lives based upon this promise. And it is not important just to hear God's Word. It is important to do this. 2 Timothy 2:19 in the Living Bible says that God's truth stands like a great rock and nothing can shake it. It is a foundation stone. And when we understand that this is the foundation of our life and that this is supremely important in everything that we do, then we understand the absolute necessity that we have of putting God's Word first in our life. The 10th reason why I believe that it is supremely important for all of us to study the Word of God is that God's Word will take us out of darkness and into light. And the more that we study God's Word, the more the light shines into our lives, and the more we can see clearly how God wants us to live our lives. You know, sometimes in our homes, when the electricity goes out, maybe when a thunderstorm comes or an ice storm, and we're all familiar, when all of a sudden that electricity goes out and we grope around, and maybe we fumble through the living room and the kitchen trying to find a candle or a flashlight, and we maybe run into a chair and we don't know where we're going. But finally we get a little bit of light. We get a candle or a flashlight. Or finally the lights come back on and all of a sudden we can see everything clearly again. Well, that's the way that it is when our hearts are full of God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And what it says is that when we use God's Word and we get it in our hearts, that it just lights up our lives and we can see where it is we're supposed to go and how we're supposed to get there. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." People say to me sometimes, "You know, you're a college graduate and you study that Bible, but I never even went to high school. I never graduated from high school. I never graduated from college. And I'm not a reader like you are. And I can't understand that Bible." Well, that's not what it says right here. And Psalm 119, 130 says, "It giveth understanding unto the simple." And the fact is that God's Word will light up our lives. Ephesians 5:8 says that ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. When we were born again, Jesus Christ took us out of the darkness of Satan and he gave us a brand new spirit inside of us and we were in light. But that doesn't automatically mean that all the rest of our lives that everything's going to go great. It means that if we get into God's Word and we study it, that we'll walk into God's light all the time and that we won't stumble and we won't fall. The 11th reason why it's absolutely important for us to study God's Word, and one of the most important reasons, is that God's Word enables us to overcome the attacks of Satan. And these verses of Scripture are just stunning when you put them all together. Please understand that Satan does every single thing that he can to stop us from getting God's Word down inside of our hearts. Satan could care less whether we come here on Sunday morning and hear the Word of God, as long as it doesn't get down inside of our hearts, because he knows that when that happens, it's the beginning of the end for him.
Please stop your player and turn the tape over.
Satan does in Mark 4:15 in the Bible. And here's what he's going to try to do to you today after this service. And it says, "When they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." And he tries to steal the word of God out of our hearts. He tries to steal it. And if you look further, and we don't have time here this morning, in Mark 4, you'll see exactly how he tries to steal it, through the deceitfulness, the riches, and the cares of this world, and persecution. But he tries everything he can to get you and I to hear God's Word and then to let it stop right there. To hear it and never to get it down inside of us. But why is Satan so desperate? Why does he try to tear the seed of God's Word out of our hearts? Why does he try to take it away? Because Satan knows the Bible just as well as God does. He's been studying it all these years, and Satan knows that these facts are in the Bible that I'm going to give you right now. Number one, Satan knows that Ephesians 6:17 tells us that the Bible is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Satan knows that there's only one way we can attack him. When Satan comes at me, I don't double up my fist and say, "Okay, watch out, I want to watch you." You can't watch him. There's only one way we can get at Satan, and that's with our sword, with our offensive weapon, and that's the Word of God. Satan knows this powerful verse of Scripture that I keep right on the lamp on my desk every day of my life. 1 John 2:14, last part of it. And it says, "The word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." And what this teaches us is when God's word lives inside of us, when it's down in our heart, and it's in there, and our hearts are just full of it, we can overcome Satan every single time. And that's why Satan tries to steal it out of our hearts, and that's why he likes us just to hear God's word and no more. Psalm 17:4 says, "By the word of thy lips I have kept me from the path of the destroyer." Satan is a destroyer. Do you want to keep out of his path? Do you want to have him go somewhere else? Fine. And the Bible says, "By the word of thy lips." And when we get God's word in our heart, and Satan comes and whacks at us a few times, and he finds that we know those promises, Satan goes somewhere else and tries. And again, 1 John 5:18 says, "He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not." How'd you like to live your life where Satan can't touch you? Well, it says that the begotten of God keepeth himself. How do we keep ourselves? We keep ourselves by doing what God's word tells us to do. by studying to show ourselves approved unto him, by being a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and by rightly dividing the word of truth. And when we fill our hearts with God's word, Satan can't get at us with fear. He can't get at us with worry. He can't get at us with marriage problems. He can't get at us with financial problems. He can't get at us with health problems. Because every single thing he tries to get at us, that our mind scans the computer of our heart, and up pops the answer from God's word, and we give it to Satan and we render it null and void. But so many Christians don't have the word of God in their heart, and they're not full of God's word. And then they wonder why they have all the problems that they have in their life. We can be part of God himself by studying his word. Reason number 12, and we can escape all of the corruption that's in this world. 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. And this verse of scripture says that God gave us these precious promises, and when we get them in our hearts, we are partakers of his divine nature, which means we are part of him. And as much as God's word lives inside of us, we are that much part of God. And we therefore escape the corruption that's in this world. And we can see that around us every day of our life. How do we escape all this rottenness in this world we live in? By filling our hearts with the great and precious promises of God's word. 14th reason why we should study the word of God constantly is because God's word cleanses us and purifies us. It's just amazing, but I see so many Christians that go through so many ups and downs, and I hurt so much for them. And Bob Ford and I were talking up here Tuesday night, and Bob came back from California, and he said, "Boy, there's a lot of people hurting out there." And he said, "Jack, they need to know what we're teaching here." And there's so many people who are double-minded. One day, yeah, I'm way up. And the next day, oh, man. Next day, way up. Next day, way down. And we see Christians that are like this all the time. How'd you like to get up and stay up all the time? We can do this. We can become single-minded. We can get rid of being double-minded. How do we do that? James 4:8 tells us how to do it. It says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And what it says is that people who are going up and down all the time need to purify their hearts. Well, you say, "Well, that's great." Well, how do you purify the heart? We purify our hearts by filling them with the word of God. Proverbs 30:5 says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." Now, we understand the purity of God's word and how clean it is, and we get that in our heart, we become single-minded, and we get rid of all the ups and downs and the double-mindedness. Psalm 12:6, this tells us how pure God's word is. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." When we need to purify silver, it goes into a furnace on seven different occasions to get the impurities out of it. This verse of scripture tells us that after you've taken silver and run it through the furnace seven times to get all of the impurities out of it, that's how pure God's word is. And as we cleanse our hearts with God's word and we fill our hearts with the word of God, we then purify our hearts and we get rid of the double-mindedness, we stop going through all the ups and downs, and we walk with the Lord every day of our life. 14th reason why it's important for us to study God's word every day of our life is that God's word will cut down deep inside of our innermost thoughts, and it'll show us what we really are like and exactly where we need to change. And I read this from the Living Bible simply because it's so clear. Hebrews 4:12 and 13 from the Living Bible. It says here, "For whatever God says to us is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest dagger, cutting swift and deep into our innermost thoughts and desires with all their parts, exposing us to what we really are. He knows about everyone, everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him." God knows every single thing about you, and he knows every single thing about me. We may even be able to hide him from our wives and our husbands who live with us every day. We can't hide them from God, and a lot of the things about ourselves we don't even know. But the word of God is able to get down there, and it's able to divide asunder our soul and our spirit and is able to get deep down inside of us to show us what we're really like and where we're weak and where we need to change. And that's a really good reason for studying God's Word. 15th reason why it's important to study God's Word is that the constant study of the Word of God will bring great peace into our lives. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." I always think of Malasad when I read that verse. I don't think anything could offend Malasad. No matter what it is, you give Malawat, he could smile and say, "Praise the Lord," and give you a verse of Scripture. Why? Because he has great peace, because he loves that law. Paul told us in Philippians 4:11 that I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And what that means is that when our heart is full of God's Word, that we are independent of circumstances and we are able to be content and we are able to stay on a steady keel. Number 16 reason is that we see out there every morning, a lot more now this time of the year, but even during the winter, we see the people out there jogging, we see the people out there exercising, we see the people lifting weights. And I'm not saying that any of those things are wrong, but I am saying that none of those things are anywhere near as important as building ourselves up with the Word of God. And the Bible teaches us very clearly that if we want to build ourselves up, that the first thing we ought to do is build up our spirit, and then after that, build up our body. Look for yourself, and don't look it up now, but later in Acts 20:32. And it says, "Brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." And God's Word is what builds us up, and it's what builds up that inner strength, and it's what builds up the faith. And here is a specific verse of Scripture. If you know someone who jogs and runs and does all of those things, and again, I'm not saying they're wrong, and never gets into the Word of God, tell him to turn in his Bible to 1 Timothy 4:7-8. And I'll read it to you out of the Living Bible simply because it's clear, but this tells us what God wants us to do, and here's what it says. "Spend your time and energy in the exercise of keeping spiritually fit. Bodily exercise is all right, but spiritual exercise is much more important. It is a tonic for all you do. So exercise yourself spiritually and practice being a better Christian, because that will help you not only now in this life, but in the next life too." Another reason for studying the Bible, number 17, is that when we get God's Word in our heart all the time, that we receive answers to our prayers. Jesus Christ said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." That's John 15:7. And Jesus said, when his words live in our heart, and when we're full of God's words, and we ask what we will, and it will be done. One of the real big reasons in these difficult times that we live in economically to study the Bible is the number 18. And if you're a self-employed businessman like I am, or if you're going through financial problems, this is why you should study the Bible. Verse of Scripture that absolutely transformed my life. The only verse of Scripture in the entire Bible that tells us how to be prosperous and successful in the same verse. And it's Joshua 1:8. And here's what it says. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." I a lot of times like to read verses of Scripture backward. And this verse of Scripture ends up and says, "Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." We say, well, gee, what are the things? Three things that we should do. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." That means all day long, the words that come out of our mouth ought to be the same as God's word. Number two, that we should meditate in God's word day and night, it says. And number three, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That means simply, as long as we live our lives the way God tells us to live them in his word, that's how we prosper and succeed. There it is, God's three-point formula, 3 points that God gives us for prosperity and success, all in one verse of Scripture. And then we see the same thing in Psalms 1, very first Psalm, verses 1 through. This is another verse of Scripture, 3 verses that have transformed my life. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law," here are these words again, "doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in season, his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What does that mean? It means that if we want whatever we do to prosper, here's what we need to do. We need to study and meditate in God's Word day and night. We need to delight in it and meditate in it day and night. When we do that, it tells us that we're like a tree that is planted right next to the river. And what is a tree like that's planted next to the river? Well, when the drought comes, it says, and when all the leaves fall off the other trees and they don't bear fruit, it says right here that our leaves shall not wither. And it says that we will continue to bring forth fruit in our season. Why? Because the tree right next to the river, the roots reach right down and suck up the water out of the river. And the Bible tells us that if we fill our hearts with God's Word and we meditate in it day and night, that no matter what the economic recession or depression or whatever comes upon us, that our fruit will still produce fruit and we won't wither because we're in that Word of God. The next reason why, 19th reason why it's important for us to study God's Word is the fact that God's Word is just full of treasures. Ephesians 3:8 tells us that we're searching for the unsearchable riches of Christ. And the deeper we dig, the more there is. Psalm 92:5 says, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Romans 11:33 says, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who else but God could have ever written a book that you and I can't get enough of? Who else but God could have written a book that we can read and study every day of our life? I study that Word virtually every day of my life for 8 years now, and the more I study, the more I realize how much there is that I'll never know. Who else but God could have written a book that we can study that much and we can't come up with the answer? So we must get these answers in our lives to live in these difficult times that we live in. But I've got a sad word for you right now, because it's what I see happening, and God bless Bob Ford and Ed and Mel and John and everybody at Beth Thompson, because we all see it all the time. And this is Hosea 4:6. Here's a sad word from God to many people in this room. And he said, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. You know how a father feels when he sees his child here in the world growing up, and a kid just says, Dad, I'm not going to pay attention to you. I'm going to go my own way. And the father says, Oh, I hate to see what's going to happen to you. For God says right now, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And God doesn't want Satan to do some of the things that he's doing to people in this room, but we refuse to get into God's Word, and we refuse to study, and we refuse to pay the price. And sooner or later, Satan gets at us. And if we will study God's Word and we'll get into it continually, we will be free and we'll be blessed by God. In John 8:31-32, Jesus said, If ye continue in my word, if you get in there and stay there, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I believe that God looks down on this earth, and he sees millions of his children who are going to live eternally in heaven. And all of us in this room who are born again Christians are going to live eternally in heaven. But we're being torn apart with fallen here on this earth that we didn't have to be torn apart with. I've given you leave to go into your homes and either to take your notes you've taken here this morning or get a copy of this tape. And look up these 20 reasons for yourself in your own Bible, 21 reasons, and go to work. Find these reasons yourself and convince yourself how important it is to study God's Word. And then next Sunday morning, we're going to come in here and we're going to go through step by step exactly how we should study the Bible. I'd like to close with a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus Christ's name, we just ask, Lord, that you convict the hearts of all the people here this morning of the absolute necessity of studying your word and filling their hearts with it. Lord, during this next week, we just ask that people do look up these 21 reasons and see what you told us about the absolute importance of filling our hearts with your word. And Lord, I ask you to anoint me and guide me during this week as I prepare the final touches for our lesson next week, so that every person here can learn exactly and specifically how you want us to study your word. We ask these things in prayer, believing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.